And on this, the first Sunday of Advent, the epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, knowing that it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is past and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and impurities, not in contention and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Please rise for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that according to St. Luke. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, by reason of the confusion of the roaring of the sea and of the waves, men withering away for fear and expectation of what shall come upon the whole world. For the powers of heaven shall be moved, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a similitude. "See the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth their fruit, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Thus far the words of this Sunday's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Ave Maria Purissima. So today the Church begins the liturgical year. We begin our liturgical year with this holy season of Advent in preparation for the Advent, the coming of our Lord. And three, the saints tell us, are the Advents or comings of our Lord that we're going to contemplate today, which will be fulfilled in their climax, contemplating the three births of our Lord on the Feast of His Nativity and the three different Masses we have for Christmas. More on that later. Stay tuned. So in terms of Advent, we notice that the Church puts before our eyes today the last coming of our Lord, what we call oftentimes His second coming, when He shall come to judge the living and the dead. And this is curious, because last Sunday, the end of the liturgical year, we heard a similar gospel about the end of the world. And now we're beginning the year thinking about the end. And this is the wisdom of our Holy Mother Church, who knows our nature, who quotes the philosopher that which is last in the order of execution is first in the order of intention, which means what? That if you're going to build a house, do you just put down foundations? No. You start with the design of the house complete. You start with the end in view, and then you begin accordingly. The Holy Scriptures tell us, "In all of your actions, be mindful of your last end, and you shall not sin." Okay? So if we always stay focused on our last end, tomorrow we die, then the judgment, heaven or hell, for all eternity, then why on earth would we take a wrong turn in this brief little life we have here below? And this meditation, you've learned that this principle, the deepest wisdom, ever since you were a child and memorizing the first question of your catechism: why did God make you? St. Ignatius of Loyola puts this as the principle and foundation of the spiritual life. That God made us to know Him, to love Him, to serve Him, and by means of this, save our immortal soul. And therefore, we should use everything else on the face of the earth so as to achieve this end, all for the greater glory of God, okay? Even the salvation of our soul, that we might be a beautiful jewel in the crown of Christ the King and Mary our Queen. And this is what He preached to His disciples so as to convert them as well. He would frequent the university preaching the faith. And there was one gentleman, Francis by name, and every time he was thinking about his brilliant career that he would have as a lawyer, the fame and fortune he would amass for himself, and his friend Ignatius, every time he saw him, would say, "Paco, Francis, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lost his soul? And he kept thinking about that till he decided he's right. I only have one life to live. He who seeks to save his life will lose it. He who loses his life for Christ's sake will find it. And he entered the Jesuits. He became St. Francis Xavier, patron of missionaries, saved so many, baptized so many persons a day that at the end of the day, he couldn't lift his arm up anymore. It was also how he converted St. Francis Borgia. Thinking of this principle and foundation of the spiritual life, he was of the, in that time, infamous Borgia family, although he led a good Christian life. But he's a Duke of Granada, he's in the nobility, and he's accompanying, he was married, had children. He's accompanying Queen Isabel, who had died suddenly in her youth, and while still in the flower, let's say, of her beauty, power, all the treasures she possessed in this life, in the kingdom of Spain. And she passes away suddenly. He accompanies her to her funeral. They open up the casket after a few days' journey, and he sees that she who was so beautiful, powerful, and wealthy is now the rotten food of worms. And he swears within himself, never again will I serve a master who will die. And so he enters the Jesuit order and becomes a great saint, the third superior general, the Jesuit, the second founder, they say. So this meditation can convert us. What we heard today, too, from St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 13, that's what St. Augustine read. If you remember in the first sermon I gave you on tole lege, take and read, take and read, St. Augustine's conversion when he read the scriptures, that's a passage he read where he finally understood it's time to put off, to do away with drunkenness, with impurities, with envy, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That pierced his soul and caused his conversion. Okay? And so that's the first point that we're meditating. The Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. Here everything is passing away. Okay? Tomorrow we die. And to think about that in that moment there will be a general judgment. Okay? It's not just our own particular judgment. The moral application of this gospel, all these things will pass before this generation passes. Don't confuse yourself, just apply it to yourself. You have one generation to live, and then you die, and then you will be judged, okay? And then you will appear before the final judgment as well. Why a second judgment? So that we see the consequences of all of our bad actions and how they affected others, even to the end of time. Parents who didn't form their children well, priests who unfortunately give bad counsel at times, how that affected so many souls and how they formed their families and what they passed on to future generations. And we'll see how that affected. I reflected on it one time when there was some singer who made a very provocative, scandalous video. And before a sermon on such a theme, I checked how many views it had on YouTube, something like 10 million within a week. And I thought, man, 10 million mortal sins she's probably responsible for. And this could go on to hundreds of millions. I think, how will that show on the last day when she has to stand before her judge, giving account for the souls that she's ruined, that she's assassinated, just to satisfy her vain glory? Likewise, to think of how the good actions as well will have an echo to the end of time. Okay, we've thought about this together as well, and I recommend very much St. Alphonsus's Preparation for Death, very powerful work on the four last things. Okay, he speaks strongly against sin and the reality of hell, but also of the glories of heaven. Okay, that there'll be more rejoicing amongst the angels for one sinner that does conversion, for who does penance and converts. That we could, in saving another soul, save our own. We could be responsible for someone who then has a vocation, becomes someone very important in the church and saves thousands of souls. Okay, all of that could be to our credit too if we follow the plan of the Lord for our life. Okay, so that's the first coming that we're contemplating in Advent, namely the last. Then we're also contemplating the first. We'll see it mixed into the liturgical texts, that our Lord is coming after thousands of years of waiting, that he's finally coming to visit his people. He will be Emmanuel, God with us. He will dwell with us as merciful Redeemer. He's going to come as a tender infant so as to win our hearts and be received by us. So it's not to scare us, but to tell you that he's here to save us. Okay? He's coming, and the church cannot hide her joy, even though it's penitential season. We're praying the Alleluia still. And there's this great expectation in every moment as you hear in the prayers, Excita Domine, Potentiam Tuum, so, stir up, O Lord, thy power, and come, 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 come. So there's a holy joy comparable to what the worldly thinking about Christmas just as, what am I going to get of material goods? How many people are already making their whatever Amazon wish list or whatever they do nowadays? Well, we as Catholics are thinking about, we're going to receive our Lord, God himself, become partakers of the divine nature. The God, as St. Augustine says, is born amongst men so that man might be born in God. Okay, so we're contemplating, and when we contemplate that mystery, what righteous indignation do we feel? Know that, you know, his own people didn't receive him, the great majority. They didn't even have room in their houses to give him a place in the inn so that he could be born. What wretched ingratitude, you know, we would say. He has to be born in a cave. They waited so many thousands of years, and he comes and they don't want to receive him. So when we meditate on that, we should meditate rather on this most important coming. The most important coming or advent with regards to our salvation, which is his advent between the first and the last, which is his advent, his coming to our soul, okay, in the mystical body of the church, in the most holy sacrament, which is prefigured in Bethlehem. What does Bethlehem mean? Why did he choose to be born there in the city of David? Bethlehem means house of bread, literally, in Hebrew. So he's already prefiguring his birth in the most blessed sacrament, where he wants to be received in the house of our soul. And if we felt any indignation in reading about how could they have not received their Savior, what about us? We have the plenitude of the faith. We even know how the story ends with the fullness of Revelation. We have no excuse. Yet how, although the gospel has been preached unto the ends of the earth, it's the great part of humanity that doesn't receive him. Great many Catholics, the majority who don't go to Mass and don't receive him. Or even worse, receive him unworthily in a sacrilegious communion, crucifying him again in their hearts. And so, St. Bernard tells us that it's his second coming, this one between the first and the last, which is the one we should focus on, okay? And how are we going to prepare ourselves? You know that it's a time of penance. How does it differ from Lent? You can read, I very much recommend, The History and Mystery of Advent by Dom Guéranger, the famous abbot of Salems who wrote the liturgical year. If you Google that, History and Mystery of Advent, you'll get a page with those, you know, a couple pages that he wrote on that subject. Wonderful introduction. So that the history tells us that instead of 40 days, it's 4 weeks. Instead of 40 days of fasting, instead of fasting every day of the week, just Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Or just an abstinence of flesh meat instead of a fast for every day, okay? What's the focus? Okay, in Lent, it's reparation for our sins, to be with our Lord in his sorrowful passion. In Advent, it's not so much reparation or sorrow, so much as it is this detachment, emptying ourselves. Will you have room to receive him? Okay, so now let's think about before the final judgment. Are you ready? Okay, the Lord, the scripture tells us that, St. John tells us that perfect love casts out fear. Okay, so are you afraid if our Lord were to come right now? And what are you afraid of specifically? Are you going to run over to the line and for the confessional? Okay, that's what you need to change. Okay, just think about it. He's coming today. Are you ready? If you're not, what do you fear? Okay, that's what we need to work on. Secondly, do you have room in your house? Okay, to receive him? Or how often do we make excuses? We have, that's the moral of the story, the moral of the, they didn't receive him into their houses because they were full of other things. Okay? And in the end, we see they didn't want a Savior. So many of them didn't want a Savior. A Savior from what? They were happy. Or he didn't meet their expectations. Yeah, we wanted a Savior, but a Savior from the Romans, those who were dominating us and taking our money. We wanted health, we wanted power, we wanted money. And you're dying on a cross? If you're the Messiah, if you want to be our Messiah, come down from the cross. I don't want a liberation for my sins because I'm not even convinced I'm that bad. Okay? Do you want to be liberated? Do you want to be saved? What do you want to be saved from? That's our meditation for Advent. What did our Lord say? He came for the sick. The healthy have no need of a physician. And those who think they're healthy have no need of a Savior. Okay? So Advent's a time to experience, to get to know more deeply our nothingness, that we need Him. Okay? Do you want to go home? Okay? Some might say, Father, we live in Southwest Florida. Why would I? Did you see the sunset yesterday? Why would I want to go home? To New Jersey. Okay, I understand. Who would want to go to New Jersey? But not talking about New Jersey, but your home is heaven. Okay? That's where you want to go. You know, do you feel a longing to go there in this valley of tears? Let's not get comfortable. If we're too comfortable, why would we need a Savior? Okay? History repeats itself in our lives. And if we're wondering how it will go for us in the end and that last judgment, think about this judgment and this coming in between, this second coming in the Most Holy Eucharist. Are you going to receive Him worthily? We complain they left Him just with a cave and dark and cold with animals eating food and digesting food. And so what about the cave of your soul? Is it prepared? Is it beautiful? Okay, what can we do during Advent? My principal recommendations for penance is more spiritual reading. Okay, I mentioned the Preparation for Death by St. Alphonsus, the Ascent of Mount Carmel of St. John of the Cross. Okay, sometimes a little difficult to understand with its nothing, nothing, nothing. The point is we should have a holy indifference. That's the point. Okay, do you like to eat a certain food? Do you like to have a drink at night? Okay, I sympathize. But if you don't have a drink, if you don't have a certain food, are you still happy? Where is your happiness? Where is your treasure? That's what we need to examine. And Advent's a perfect time. Okay, I give something up. Is all my happiness in our Lord? And just possessing Him, isn't that enough? Okay, that's what we're aiming at. And so we should examine, what are my attachments? What are my weak points? And that all come to light if we do more prayer and meditation. Okay, Preparation for Death, the Ascent of Mount Carmel, likewise the Sermon on the Final Judgment by St. John Vianney. You can find that online. Remember one time that I listened to it. They had it recorded in Spanish, and I just started crying. It's about 45 minutes. Really strong. It can help wake you up. Okay, start this year off right. The first step in sanctity is conversion. Repent, 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 and believe. Okay? And so to spend time every day. If I tried to impose a penance of 30 minutes of spiritual reading every day, how many would say, whoa, that's a little exaggerated. I mean, the church doesn't require that. That's really going beyond the bar, no? And if I told you, no, you know what? I'm going to oblige you to watch 2 hours of television every day. Okay. So, actually, I already do that. That's fine. I could do three, in fact, Father. Okay. Well, so prioritize. We need a time of rest. It's true. A time to distract yourself helps get rid of stress and replenish your energies to work for the kingdom of God, and so to sanctify your family. But priorities, okay? Why not just put the priority? Nothing of entertainment until I've done my spiritual reading, okay? Until I prayed my rosary. Start there. What else? It's a Marian time, okay? We're waiting like Our Lady, okay? Looking at her and all the liturgy and her annunciation, expectation. Our Lord's going to be born and the Lord is within her, okay? The Angelus, that's a prayer we say at the end of Mass in this time. The Alma Redemptoris Mater ends with that, pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, etc. Okay? The Angelus, three times a day, okay? Before you eat, for example, in a family, easy way to do it. The rosary. The bishop, successor of the apostle, is encouraging the whole diocese to consecrate itself to the Blessed Virgin Mary in every parish. Okay, and he's proposing the method of St. Louis de Montfort and St. Maximilian Kolbe. If you've never done that, you should do the work personally. Okay, we'll see what the consecration prayer is collectively on the fourth Sunday of Advent, a day before Christmas this year. But do the preparation. Yeah, you follow St. Louis de Montfort's guide. That's 33 days of preparation, of spiritual exercises. Great. Consecrate yourself to Our Lady in this time of this Marian time of Advent. Try to go to Mass with more frequency, okay? Keep thinking about, they say Saint Louis Gonzaga would receive just once a week, okay? But thinking 3 days beforehand of his next Holy Communion, and then thinking of, in gratitude, of the last Holy Communion he made for 3 days, keep thinking of our Lord's coming in Holy Communion. Don't sin, okay? Don't sully the cave of your soul. Don't lose him, don't crucify him anew. Think about the next time he's coming, and that's the key to sanctifying ourselves in Advent. That the nuns as well, the Carmelites, you know, Father Paso's sister is a Carmelite nun. They have the holy practice of, nice practice you can implement in your families. They all make a little creche, a nativity scene, and then for every good work or sacrifice they do, they get, you know, another piece of straw, another adornment. That's what we're doing in Advent. We're going to prepare a place to receive our Lord. How's it going to look at the end of the day? Okay? And even though it be the simplicity of a cave, think of how St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary prepared it with so much care. Okay? Prepare your soul. And in the end, that's as St. Bernard tells us, this theme is that if we're wondering about how it will go on the last day, let us wonder how it will go for us today when our Lord comes in the most blessed sacrament. Because we hear from St. Paul, now is the day of salvation. St. Bernard says, to quote, and to end, in the first coming, he comes in the flesh and in weakness. In the second, he comes in spirit and in power. In the third, he comes in glory and in majesty. And the second coming, coming to our souls right now, is the means whereby we pass from the first to the third. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.